just want to give a little testimony this morning that the Lord's brought to my heart. And something just to encourage you today that no matter what you're going through, sometimes things look like God isn't listening, that He's not doing something. But I want to encourage you that He is always working. And whatever is happening, we must believe that it is for our good. Most of you know that our son is battling stage 3 cancer, and it's spread throughout his body. And about 2 months ago, a month and a half ago, he developed blood clots in his lungs. And I thought, Lord, why another thing? You know, he doesn't need this. And I didn't see the good in it. But about a week ago, I was reading a book that he led me to called A World Without Cancer. And I believe that is his heart, A World Without Cancer. And in it, it was explaining how what cancer does, it feeds off the oxygen in our blood, and it spreads that way. And I thought, well, Lord, if you allowed these blood clots, why would you do that? There must be a purpose in them. So I looked up blood clots, and do you know they do the opposite? They actually deplete the oxygen in your blood. So I believe that he allowed those blood clots for good reason and not for harm. And so I just want to encourage you today that he loves you. He loves you. I heard this morning, he loves us like there's no other person on this earth. Like it's just us. That's how much he loves us. And he is working even when we don't see it. So hallelujah. I give you glory, Father. Thank you. Lost or saved, and they find a way at the sound of your great name. And all condemned, they feel no shame at the sound of your great name. And fear, it has no place at the sound of your great name. And the enemy, he has to leave at the sound of your great name. Jesus, slain
Lord, for speaking to us and speaking to us so clearly today. And thank you, Father. Help us, Lord, to walk in the wisdom that we receive from on high as we gather into the corporate worship of you, Lord. Lord, this is why we gather together, is to worship you together and to hear from you together. Thank you, Father. Continue to bless us, Lord, and may our eyes be attentive to what you're showing us, and may our ears be attentive to what you're telling us, and may our hearts be open to receive those two in Jesus' name. Amen. Megan, come and speak. Welcome. Welcome back. Welcome back to Harmony. One event only here. And so you're going to share a little bit. Do you want to share a little bit about what it's like over there before you speak, or just work it all together?
So I'm not usually good with gifts, but God is. So it's funny, but the scripture that came to mind that Pastor Bruce just spoke out, I had a very similar verse that I was going to share at the women's breakfast yesterday, and I didn't. As you all know, Pastor Bruce is our leadership, and he is our authority, and he is our covering, and he takes care of us. And if you choose Harmony Church, then Pastor Bruce is your shepherd. But he's also a dad to me in a lot of ways, and he stepped in, and he gave me my first Bible. And I helped, he was a vessel for me to help fall in love with the Lord, because I saw a man who ran out of the drop-in center and ran into his van and literally searched until he found me a Bible. And I don't know anyone really who does that other than Pastor Bruce. So that's why Harmony Church is my family, because of him and the beauty of his family unit, who are amazing. So the verse that I was going to share yesterday, and I didn't. I want to give to Pastor Bruce, but it's also for Harmony Church, because it's connected. Any blessing he's blessed with comes to you. So if you ever need encouragement to pray for your pastor, know that the more blessed he is and taken care of, it's coming to you too. But it's in Isaiah 49:10. And it says, they shall neither hunger nor thirst, neither heat nor sun shall strike them. For he who has mercy on them will lead them. Even by the springs of water, he will guide them. So I have no clue what that means. But God does, and he knows what mercy we all need. He knows what springs of water we're desperately crying for. And he's really kind and nice to just walk with us every day with it. Here's the thing. I have half an hour, and I wrote a message at 5 a.m. this morning, and I have no clue how long it is. So I think the message is more important. So I had a fancy video about the school. I have all of the stuff, but I do feel there's gold here that God wants for you guys. So that's my priority right here. Priority, important. Here, just super quickly, I went to Wales, fell in love with the school, and I know why God sent me there. And I want to thank you for sending me there. We had 30 students in our class from 13 different nations. So we literally had a little world of different ages, 19 to over 60. Cambodia, Australia, Singapore, Malaysia, States, Canada. We had one Welsh dude, and he was holding the torch. And what I'm going to be talking about is one of the biggest blessings from the school was just... the teaching was great. We had worship every day. We did the chapel thing. We did all those really idealistic Christian things. But I got to learn what daily spiritual disciplines actually looked like. So for the first time in my life, I did a devotional. And Jesus still loves me. It's okay. Just throwing that out there. Before that, I just never did a daily devotional at all. I would read the Bible sometimes, but I found worship a lot easier. I found prayer a lot easier than opening the book. That gives life and shoes to my feet. So just really practical things. And I'm only sharing that because I find it so easy when people go across the world and they drink the fancy coffee and they have those really great meals. It's like, oh, great. The Lord is blessing them. But the things that God gives life to is attainable for every single person. And it's literally just found in your everyday life. God used day-to-day things, like people annoying me, to refine me. And I promise you, annoying people are everywhere. Usually in church, because we're weird. So there's hope. Okay. So if we have time at the end, there is a video, and I'll show you. It just shows some of the classmates and kind of the environment, because I'm a visual picture person, and I know a lot of people here are as well. But I just really want to honor the time. So I love you. Jesus loves you. And I'm very glad to be back at Harmony because you guys are my family. So I'm blessed. Okay. I will pray. Lord, I thank you so much that your eyes truly are on us, that your spirit truly is with us, and that we cannot hide from your presence. So whether we're in a mountain or in a valley, that you are right beside us. I pray you bring your word to life in people's hearts, and you take the scales off of people's eyes so they can taste and truly see just how good you are. And Jesus, I pray that if there's anything of my flesh that dishonors your holiness and righteousness, I pray it be put to death in Jesus' name, so only you may be glorified in this time and in this space. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Okay, here we go. So an overarching theme for school, and you know it's important when it becomes your magazine cover, was just about us being set apart as a class. So there was a lot of teaching about priesthood and holiness and just what it truly means to be in the world but not of the world. And just how intentional that has to be every single day. So a verse, it's not our main verse, but we're going to just start with it because I want you to have it in your mind. And it's 1 Peter 2:9. And it says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who's called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." So you're special, and I'm special, and collectively we're special. We're valuable, and God doesn't need us. God has never needed us, but he really wants us. And there is a God-sized purpose for each and every one of our lives, if we want it. So a lot of this journey, I think, is just wanting God's dreams. So the main verse we're going to spend most of our time on is in Isaiah as well. And it's verse 4, 2-6. So Isaiah 4, 2-6. And it's about the renewal of Zion. So I'll read through it and we'll break it down. I don't speak like Pastor Bruce speaks or Pastor Dan speaks. They're amazing, but I'm a little different. So just be patient with me, and we'll kind of go through this and try to have a little bit of fun, because God isn't boring, and we should be allowed to have fun as well. So I'll start in verse 2. "In that day the branch of the Lord shall be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and appealing for those of Israel who have escaped. And it shall come to pass that he who is left in Zion and remains in Jerusalem will be called holy. Everyone who is recorded among the living in Jerusalem. When the Lord has washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion and purged the blood of Jerusalem from her midst by the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of burning, then the Lord will create above every dwelling place of Mount Zion and above her assemblies a cloud and smoke by day and the shining of a flaming fire by night. For over all the glory there shall be a covering, and there will be a tabernacle for shade in the daytime from the heat, for a place of refuge, and for a shelter from storm and rain. So I'm going to be asking you guys a few questions as we go through this. My first question is, where are you standing? Our position in life really does matter. Like I said earlier, school was great. There was a lot of really wise people. But the best part of it was just I was really, really close to Christians. With 30 people living in the same place, you can't hide. And as an introvert, I love hiding. And being so close to people forces you to choose whether you really are going to love someone or not. If you're going to avoid someone or not, if you're going to say hello to someone or not, and guard your tongue or not, because there's literally nowhere else to go. And if you say something that's dishonoring, you actually have to deal with it instead of pretending it didn't happen and then show up for another week. You're forced to. And for someone who's single and living alone, this is a new revelation to me. You married folk, you got this down, you know it. But for me, this is brand new. I'm like, oh, I actually have to talk to you long term? Yeah? Okay. So it was a really big thing God used to refine me. And that's pretty simple. Frustrating people together who love Jesus, figuring this stuff out. I get that my circumstance is a little weird. Most people don't sign up for bunk beds or shared bathrooms or communal living spaces with people from different cultures around the world, different principles. I got rebuked so much because I put a bag on top of my bed. Because in the cultures that I come from, that is dishonoring, just putting your luggage on top of your bed, because your bed is a clean space, and how dare you, like, different. And I love them, and they're fine, but I had to, like, immediately choose whether I was going to freak out or not, and be like, girl, OCD, let me pray for you. Like, you know, it's a choice. So whether you have 30 people in front of you or only one, it's the same choice as to whether you're going to show up and love someone. So I ask again, where are you standing? If you go to verse 3, it says, "And it shall come to pass that he who is left in Zion and remains in Jerusalem will be called holy." Those who chose God and seek him are a remnant. It isn't common in this world anymore. And there is a cost involved with choosing God. The beauty of that is if you didn't know the cost, your praises would be quite hollow, because you know what it's cost in your life. And it mirrors just for a glimpse the cost in Jesus dying for you. And it's really humbling. But God gives us a choice as to where we want to stand in our life. The choice is up to us, because God really has done everything. We just need to show up every single day. In Psalm 122, verse 3 to 4, it describes what Jerusalem is. And it says, "Jerusalem built as a city that is bound firmly together, to which the tribes go up and the tribes of the Lord, as was decreed for Israel, to give thanks to the name of the Lord. Their thrones for judgment were set, and the thrones of the house of David." to paraphrase, because New King James, I'm working on it. Jerusalem is a guarded place where the people of the Lord are truly set apart. They are called together and established with justice and worship. It was a place where people came together and prayed for peace and prosperity. To paraphrase the paraphrase, it's a place to come together with people, give thanks for what God is doing, bring stability and order, and bless others. It's Pastor Bruce's birthday, so I'm just going to make this really, really clear, just to, as another gift. Ready? Church is a really good place to practice this stuff. Show up to church. This is where you see this stuff in action. Because it is like a mini Jerusalem. You are putting yourself apart from the world. You could be sleeping right now. You could be making pancakes with maple syrup because it's Canada. And that's a beautiful thing. But you have voluntarily chosen to show up. And that's beautiful. But it's also a place where it's really easy to not really know who's sitting next to you. Even if you sit next to the same person every single week, you may still not really know them. Everyone should know Courtney. She's wonderful. So if you get a chance, next to her. But it's a place where worship pours over and the justice of the Lord is praised because he's a really just God. My challenge for you this morning, though, is that church isn't it. This isn't the goal. It's just our practice zone. This place, this house, just helps us grow so that we can do it out there. I really appreciated Candace's word about family. So keep this in a family lens, but if you're married, practice there. That's your mission ground, absolutely. If you're single, though, find someone who's married and practice with them. If you're old, wise. Find someone who's young and, you know, really not wise. That's a really good place to practice. If you're widowed, find someone who's married because you will bless them in a way that no one else will be able to. And if you're married, find someone who's widowed because a lot of times they just need a hug. There needs to be a coming together where you're challenged beyond the nice and the pretty so the power of God truly can manifest and overflow because God wants his power to manifest and overflow. But he needs people coming together beyond the nice and the pretty. Because we are called to be set apart from this world, so we need to come together. And the promise is that when we do, it will grow something good that is both excellent and appealing. Proximity brings blessing. I've got lots of examples in school where, a lot of examples at school. But we'll skip over those for now. If we have tea, come ask me and I will share willingly. So the first question is, where are you standing? The second question is, are you willing to be made clean? In verse 4, it says, when the Lord has washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion. And I know that's really strong language. Lord, I'm not filthy. I washed this morning. How dare you? For that to kind of hit our heart, that next to the Lord's standard, it doesn't matter how much you clean, man, you're filthy. You're absolutely filthy. And yet the Lord still loves you so much. And I like that he uses the word daughters. Because he rebukes and he chastens those he loves. And it's not a dictator or someone separate. It's, I love you so much. And I love you too much to keep you as you are right now. So let me bring you close. but there's going to have to be some change because I have a standard, because I am a just God, and I just love you too, too much. And that's the fine print involved with coming together. Because what happens when you come together, you may want it, it's a great idea, but the closer you get to someone, the more you see their garbage, and you see how filthy they are. And again, Christians are weird, so we got like a weird filth going on. Like, oh, weird. The more you will not only see their brokenness, but more importantly, you will see your own. Which is why I think most people stay away from people, because their own brokenness is on display. It's really easy to be in denial about all the mud in your own heart when you have nothing really poking it. One of the biggest things about being set apart is owning up to the fact that you need Jesus' help to make you clean, to heal you, and to deliver you from whatever is going on inside of you. And I found in my experiences that the people who irritate me the most usually poke the most on something that's in me that hasn't been healed. I had one woman who I had to literally walk up and repent to her about her just reminding me of my mom. It's the weirdest conversation ever. But I had something of my mom that I hadn't healed yet, and just looking at her irritated me. Anyone else have that? Obviously, I need Jesus. But there's some people you meet, you're like, I don't know, man. They say good morning to me, they hold the door open for me, but I just don't like them. It's like, well, I'm just saying, maybe pray about it and see what the Lord exposes in your heart. Yeah? Okay. I got to a point where I got so irritated by people, and this is related to, are you willing to be made clean, that I left the school and went for a walk. And literally just, it was raining because it's Wales and it always rains. But at least I'm awake during the day. Hallelujah. And I literally just sat by a tree because I had run out of the pleasantry extrovert mode where she just goes through the motions and yes, good morning, hallelujah, how are you? That ran out after a month. Yeah. And I realized that I had absolutely nothing left and I was empty. And God used the proximity to people to poke my heart and make room for me to actually ask for his help. And he gave me an opportunity to teach me about what grace really is. Ephesians 2, for you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. 2 Corinthians, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. And I needed grace to love people. We all need grace to love people. And if you think you can love people in your own strength, then you really, you might not be loving them very well. It's not that it's wasted, but you're not tapping into God's power for loving people. And you will run dry. And it doesn't matter how many pleas and thank yous and how many doors you hold open, you're missing a blessing that God wants to bestow in your heart and in your life. So loving other people is a good work. Learning how to love yourself as God loves you is also a good work. Are you willing to be made clean? If we truly want to discover new depths to God, then keeping our hearts pure and our hands clean needs to be a priority in our life. And the only way I'm learning how to do that is repenting often. Not out of fear, not out of condemnation, not that if I don't, God is going to strike me down, but out of, Lord, let there be nothing, nothing that makes my heart not pure in your sight. Anything that keeps me out of your presence, anything that keeps your face far away, because I've chosen to allow that person irritating me to take my blessing away from you. Because that is what unforgiveness does. It robs you of a blessing. Because Jesus loves him or her just as much as they love you. And you will never hurt them. You are only hurting yourself. So I've been repenting often. There are more in the last 3 months than I have. And like two people's face in really awkward ways. I'm not saying you always have to do that. But I just find it's a really great way to welcome a Christian into your healing process. The woman who reminded me of my mom, her next question was, is what can I do to help you with this? Is there anything I'm doing that is hurting you in any way? And I think that's the picture of what God really wants. And she never became my best friend. And she may never become my best friend. But that wedge in my heart that I couldn't explain, that made me tense and fearful and even hateful sometimes, went away. And it wasn't a super spiritual thing. It was, obviously. But it wasn't I came up to her crying, bawling my eyes out, being like, daughter of the highest king, forgive me. No. It was, I'm screwing up and I want to love you and I am so sorry that I haven't been loving you. Do you forgive me? Yes, Megan, I forgive you. And then chunked off, the hate's gone. Because you make room for God to be God. Right? And then he starts doing stuff you can't understand. Because you've literally just let God be God. And it's kind of cool. I don't know. You do it enough times where it's like, oh, okay, Lord, this actually works. Sweet. The word is true. If we actually do this stuff, miracles actually happen. Awesome. It's not just acts, man. Like, we can live it in a way that actually builds life and multiplies. So, are you willing to be made clean? So just to summarize quickly, where are you standing? Are you taking a risk and showing up in a place and wanting to be vulnerable in a new way? Are you positioning yourself somewhere or somehow where you're inviting God to be God in a new way? Where are you standing? Who are you saying hello to in the morning? Who scares you? How are you showing up? In the same place, doing the same thing, but slightly different, and asking God to move. Number two, are you willing to be made clean? Darkness is not allowed to coexist in the light, and perfect love banishes all fear. You can either hold on to pride or hold on to humbleness. You either admit that the fights you're having with people are more to do with you than it is to do with them. Are you willing to look at yourself and realizing that cleansing isn't just a one-time thing when you invite Jesus into your heart? It is an ongoing life process of asking for his help. So number three, are you willing to say yes? Are you willing to say yes? Saying yes to God isn't just in a pew or an altar. And hallelujah for that. Because that would be a lot of gas money if we had to drive to a church to seek forgiveness with the Lord. Because, man, I don't know. Gas isn't getting cheaper. I'm just throwing it out there. Jesus is coming back. So, repentance has so much more to do about saying no to one thought, one behavior, one action, and turning to Jesus and asking for his forgiveness. So a big question is whether you're willing to say to believe that Jesus is who he says he is. In Romans 3:23, it says, For all have sinned and come short to the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation, amen, through faith in his blood, and to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. He is the justification for our sin. So when God looks at you, he looks at you as if you had never sinned ever in your entire life. That's the power of Jesus. Jesus is our righteousness. So Jesus makes you good. All of you. Every moment, every thought, everything, ever. Jesus makes you good. And my favorite is the word I can't pronounce, but Jesus is our propitiation. Thank you. Barabbas. Jesus makes God kind to us. So it's not enough that he gives us our mercy. So he doesn't give us what we deserve, knowingly done in our lives. Even if we know the Lord, it's I love you, but I'm still. Not only does God give us mercy and not punish us when we are due for it. Not only does he give us grace where it's like, I'm going to do good things for you. You have a desire for a marketplace? You want to build a business? Sweet, I'm with you. Let's build this up. You want to bless someone? Sweet, I will help you bless someone. You want to like love your husband? Sweet, I will give you the strength. You want to love your wife? Hallelujah. All of heaven open up for you, man. Not only does he not punish us, not only does he not give us more than we could ever deserve, ever, but he's really kind to us. Like, he wants to do this. He wants to have favor on us. That is the power of Jesus. So are you willing to say yes in believing that even if you don't feel it or get it, to choose faith, not knowing, not understanding, not seeing the full picture, but trusting the love of God and saying yes anyway. We will all walk that journey in different speeds and different ways, and that's okay. For me, I still don't get Jesus. My mind doesn't. I want to see him clearer and deeper and wider than anything my eyes could ever understand. And I am unsatisfied until he is real in ways that my heart and my spirit could never understand. But I'm weird, and it's okay. It says in verse 5 in Isaiah, then the Lord will create, and it's talking about a tabernacle for shade in the daytime from the heat, for a place of refuge and for shelter from storm and rain. We will be protected and tabernacles will be raised in our lives where things that once hurt us won't have the same power. God will find you where you are in his presence and his closeness will personally and corporately, here, give you direction and protection. When our eyes become less blind and our hearts become softer, we start seeing that it's not just me against this. It's not just my family against this. But it's a tabernacle, it's a city, it's a community, it's a family that we truly can rest and fight. I think that's a call on the people of Harmony Church. And I am the fruit of Harmony Church doing this in my life. I was discipled by this church 2 years of people picking me up, giving me work, bringing me to church, loving me in ways I had never understood before. It took even just a moment of me to have faith that maybe Jesus was real. And that is the fire of Zion coming down. It's in the day-to-day walk and dance with the Lord, where fire, repentance is fire. Zion is glory. Freedom is beautiful. And it is found in your everyday life. And we aren't doing this alone, because God's rooting for us. And if you say yes to the Lord, he truly will walk you through it, however that looks. You truly just have to say yes. So where are you standing? Are you willing to be made clean? And are you willing to say yes? Those are the three questions I want to leave with you guys. Because I love you, and we're all doing this together. When I think of harmony, I don't think of a church. I think of individual people coming together who love Jesus. And people I miss. And I want the Lord to radically move and transform lives here. Because when I see your faces, I don't just see your face. I see your families. I see who you represent. I see lineages. I see futures. And this picture is so much bigger than just us sitting here and coming together. So it's a challenge for you, but it's also a challenge for me. So that's what I got. Amen.
Praise the Lord. It's always a blessing to see God do things in people's lives. Amen. And then for them to be raised up and then speak into our lives. That's where God wants to bring it. He wants to bring it. And if you think it's only about you speaking into somebody else's life, well, you haven't come full circle until they've spoken into your life. And then you've received it. Two of the three points in this message were, are you willing? There's a volitional issue there. Are you willing? Are you willing to receive? Are you willing to take in?